A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We've heard this saying of Jesus so many times that we don't really stop to think about it too much anymore. I mean, after 2,000 years of referring to the church as a flock of sheep, and our priests and bishops as shepherds, it's become very natural to us. But can you imagine someone coming into a Christian church for the very first time in their lives today to hear that there is a man who would willingly die for a bunch of farm animals? Right? I mean, I think everyone can appreciate dedication to duty and work and the value of livestock for a community. But are they really worth dying for? And are they worth living for the way that the shepherd seems to live? But the image is so emblazoned on our minds that nowadays even the most easily outraged Christian doesn't seem to balk at the fact that Jesus calling his followers sheep is not exactly a compliment. Right? I mean, sheep are not exactly the brightest animals in the world, are they? Okay. I do wonder about this, right? I mean, why couldn't he have called us, I don't know, dolphins or monkeys or golden doodles, right? But then again, it's not up to me. He did not ask my opinion about this question, right? Either way, let's not get too wrapped around the axle and imposing our own issues on the image Jesus chooses to use. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any name under heaven given to the human race by which we can be saved. Peter, in Acts chapter 4, does what popes do. Confirms the brethren in their faith. The shepherd, whether he be a priest or a bishop, has this fundamental task: to preach Jesus and to bring people Jesus. There are lots of other things that are good and worthy and wonderful that he can do, but that's not what they're for. Now, of course, all of this doesn't mean that there are not seeds of truth in other religions and in Christian communities out of full communion with the Catholic Church, right? I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, right? They're all sheep too, even if they don't belong to this fold, right? It means that all men are created in the image and likeness of God. And one of the many things that unites all of us in the human race together is that we are all children of God in some way. But God calls us to be his children in a specific way, right? Through the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, especially as we participate through the life-giving sacraments of our church. The life of the Catholic priest today, in many ways, reflects exactly the same mission Jesus describes as that of the Good Shepherd, right? Don't be a hireling, okay? Protect from the wolves, keep everybody together in one fold, and seek out the lost to get back into the fold, right? All of that has been happening on a daily basis since the book of Acts. But as priests, we can also spend a lot of time preaching to the choir, as it were. The Catholic priest in America today is basically the CEO of a company and responsible for the vitality of an organization that, in many ways, has to run like a business. Catholic Church Inc. has become a huge corporation with many parts, and all of the risks that threatened shareholder investment loom large in the thoughts and policies of every priest and bishop in the country. Now, this isn't all bad, right? I think that there's a lot that we can learn from the business world. But in the final analysis, the model of company, with its company men and company policies and company strategies and the like, isn't what we're all about. You know, sometimes Catholics tend to think that the priest is for them and belongs to them. Okay, that's not all bad either, right? He is and is supposed to be the father of a family, right? You know, I've been a priest long enough now that I am celebrating the weddings of children that I baptized and gave First Communion to, right? That's awesome, right? It is wonderful to be the proud father of a family, right? It is an absolutely wonderful and amazing thing, and I wouldn't trade it in for anything in the world. But when a priest is assigned as a pastor, he's actually responsible for all of the souls present in a specifically defined territory. All of the souls, right? Whether they are registered, active, and contributing parishioners using the envelope system, or not, right? And even when people love their church enough to vote it the best church in the upstate 2 years in a row, and we're hoping for three, so remember, vote early and vote often, right? Okay. The priest will be judged at the end of time not on how he grew the offertory and programming of the parish, but by how many souls were saved by his faithful exercise of the ministry. And I will confess to God and to everybody right now that I might be in trouble. I spend most of my waking hours thinking about and working for you and for us all to have the best parish ever, right? And I love it. Yet what does the Lord Jesus say? These also must I lead, and they will hear my voice. My friends, that line alone of our Lord is enough to cause me to stay up at night. Okay? If our parish becomes inward directed, if it's all about us, if we are concerned only about showing how many ministries and programs we're doing to keep people on 1209 Brushy Creek Road all day and all night long, then I have to ask myself, are we actually doing what the Lord wants us to do? And yes, I am saying that at the same time as we're presenting the whole parish with information about two multi-million dollar projects, right? One for the organ and one for the school, that as a community we're going to have to do at some point to sustain what we do, right? But am I going to have to become a professional full-time fundraiser to get these projects done? Or, with great simplicity, can I say, okay, guys, here's what we need. Let's do it together, right? So that I can continue to do what I was actually ordained to do, to work for the gospel, not only for you, but for everyone who is entrusted to my care. Okay, so why am I saying all this, right? We're doing this sermon series on the sacraments, right? We're talking about the sacrament of holy orders today. You know just as well as I do that in this country and all over the Western world, mass attendance is plummeting and people are no longer identifying with the Catholic faith at an alarming rate. This is not a surprise to anyone. Sometimes living in a place like South Carolina, where we're actually building churches and churches are full, we can lose sight of the fact that this is awesome to be a part of, but that's not the case everywhere. And I have followed closely the closure of parishes and other Catholic institutions all over the country. Now, often these things are explained in terms of demographic change. change, right? Okay, well, Catholics don't live where they used to live, and so it doesn't make sense to run parishes where there are no more Catholics, right? But remember, the parish isn't just for those who call it their spiritual home, right? It's for everyone. And the last time I checked, we don't have any more ghost towns in America. One of the most amazing things here at Prince of Peace when we got the most, you know, ginormous nativity in Christendom, right? So that was your generosity that made that happen. But the power of that nativity set, right, is something which has transformed our own community, right? You know, from Advent all the way to the Feast of the Presentation, we had people coming through here who had never darkened the doors of a Catholic church in their lives. And they came because of something beautiful that your generosity gave up for God, right? That is a life-changing experience, right? Last night, you know, we had this beautiful concert of Jecora voices of French Baroque music, right? And French Baroque music is my happy place, right? There were people who had never been inside of a Catholic church before who came because of the beauty of the arts, right? What an evangelizing moment. And it reminds us that we're here for everyone, for our entire community, not just for those who are our parishioners, who, of course, are the best part of it, right? But, you know, when you look into the dynamic of what is happening in so many places, there is a pattern that emerges, right? Priests begin to think about the institution and not the mission. And as the institution inside becomes successful, the mission outside begins to suffer. The priest loses his way and makes one little compromise after another, and so the people lose their way and they begin to do the same. People stop coming to Mass. And then nobody seems to even care, right? And so the message is sent that not even the institution cares about its own survival, right? Schools may last for a little while, but the tail begins to wag the dog. Parishes invest more and more capital into schools without the schools feeding into the parish. The schools lose their Catholic identity. And then parents no longer see the value of a Catholic education, so the school and the parish decline. The priest becomes a manager of decline, and the bishop becomes an administrator of a dying church. Then Mr. McGillicuddy passes by St. Ignominy's church and notices the for sale sign. So he gets irate and rabble-rouses all over the internet and then stalks the priest and says, "You know what? My grandfather built this church. How dare you close it?" And then Father points out to him, "Well, yeah, okay, and you still have the money from your first communion, which was the last time you darkened the door of this church, so what do you expect?" And Mr. McGillicuddy goes away mad at the church for not continuing to exist in that particular place when he was the church and couldn't be bothered and isn't willing to do what is necessary to keep the institutions going, right? This pattern is consistent in every place where the church is dying. And if we know this, let's not repeat it. Meanwhile, in large parts of Africa and Asia, Catholic churches are full and missions are booming. Why? Because they're staying true to the faith and they're living it rather than just talking about it, right? Because they don't have all of these institutions that they're just trying to keep going. They're just living out the mission. Now, I'm convinced that we can do both. Build up institutions that are sustainable and viable, and also be mission-focused and outward-directed. Remember, the beauty of our Catholic faith is that in so many ways it is very inclusive, right? It's not an either-or religion. It's a both-and. And that means that all of us who call Prince of Peace their spiritual home must be committed together to seek out the lost and to bring them into the fold. And that's not the job just of the clergy and the staff, right? But all of us. And may the Good Shepherd look down upon us here with great pleasure and help us to grow in grace.